This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
How's it hanging, ladies and folks? My name is Chris R.R. Balzo, and this is my show. You're about to hear Chapter 5 of my ongoing Sword and Sorcery sci-fi narrative. A story written, read, performed, and edited, all with your ear holes in mind. But don't concern yourself with going back to catch up quite yet, because this episode, like every episode, just so happens to be the perfect jumping on point. And then, once you're hooked, feel free to go back and catch up with all the previous episodes of the show while you wait for the next one to drop. But for now, all I need you to do is sit back, relax, and allow me to unfurl the wizard scroll. The crystal apple tree was dead ahead, and she could feel it. The power, the tendrils of arcane energy that reached out and beckoned to her, all the way from the bottom of the stairs. The ones the elf practically flung herself down, down to B2F, deep down into the cavernous crevasse where the tree had taken root untold ages ago. Even with the knowledge Crystal Everfall had gleaned of this place from her travels, the underground crystal grotto had exceeded all of her expectations. Despite being two stories underground, this final cavern she propelled herself into was lit up bright as day. Massive, iridescent crystals were embedded in the elevated ceiling above, and at the very center of this crevasse, the elf spotted the object of her desire in all of its shimmering glory, seemingly unguarded and ripe for the pilfering. Crystal yoinked Wronghalf's limp and castrated form from the bag of holding at her hip, pulling him up and out by his long, soot-black hair, before shoving a crystal apple directly into his open, slack-jawed mouth. She moved his jaw up and down for him, forcing his unresponsive maw to chew, to crush it up into small enough pieces so that it could slide into his digestive tract with ease. And once enough of the apple had made refuge inside Wronghalf's stomach, the reverse centaur glowed from head to toe with a red, delicious aura. An aura which cured his hypothermia-induced coma instantly.
What happened? Where am I?
Much to her delight, he had been fully healed, save for one notable exception.
Hey! Where the heck did my dick go? It's just a stump and balls down there! What the fudge? What the frick, man? There's no penis there anymore!
Oh. Yeah, here it is. The cold snapped it off at some point, but I've been saving it in my pocket for you.
The elf exclaimed as she produced the phallus in question and rested it upon the bridge of the reverse centaur's snout.
Who the frick thinks they can lose a dick in my cave?
Wronghalf was stunned, flabbergasted, confused, his mouth agape in terror at the sight that befell him. Because into the chamber stomped a 12-foot-tall, hairy beast, complete with goatee and ponytail, clad in an appropriately sized bathrobe, clutching a big bowl of frosted flakes in his hand. A character the likes of which Wronghalf had never met, yet already knew oh so well. The very boogeyman of his childhood, the one he'd heard fables and follies about all throughout his formative years.
Oh no! Iced tea!
That's right, asshat!
Iced tea was the focal point of many a childhood tale, whose exploits included everything from eating naughty children whole to co-starring on a magic rectangle show called Law and Orc Durr SVU. But as young Wronghalf grew into adolescence, he had learned the truth. According to his stepfather, Peter, Iced tea was a total fabrication. One big lie told with the sole purpose of frightening the young centaurs into good behavior. Nothing more and nothing less. At least, that's what he had believed up until right this very second, because now he's fucking standing right there.
It can't be!
What the fuck is that thing?
It's the beast of Mount Shinsical! I see! But he's supposed to be a myth!
You know, sometimes I sit at home, you know, and I watch the magic rectangle, and I wonder what it would be like to live in some place like, you know, the Cosby Show, Ozzie and Harriet, you know, where the chops came and got your cat out of the tree, all your friends died at old age. But you see, I live in a freaking cave, and unfortunately, shit ain't like that!
As if on cue, hundreds of miniature versions of Ice-T, each no taller than a foot or two, and each with the same exact visage as their father, they too emerged from round the corner by the far wall, all wielding simple wooden spears, small enough for their tiny hands to carry, as they poured into that spacious room until it was filled from wall to wall.
That tree and all of its fruits belong to me and my babies, and we will see our property return the easy way or the hard way.
During all of this, however, Crystal had nonchalantly reached up and plucked a second crystal apple from the tree immediately behind her.
Oh, neat.
Hey, buddy, what the heck? What did I just say?
Ice-T's words crashed into the walls of the cave as his younglings all stormed forward. An avalanche of fur that came tumbling toward the elf and reverse centaur from all flanks. The miniature Ice-T's were upon her instantly, upon Crystal before she could even reply with some sort of funny quip. The ones closest wrapped their furry arms tightly around each of the elf's boots, and they began to pile on top of one another, weighing her down with their collective mass as they held her in place. While others poked and prodded her legs and torso with their tiny spears, glorified pointy sticks which, luckily for her, could barely even break the skin. The elf fought her assailants off as best she could manage with only one hand, bonking them on their Ice-T looking heads with the butt of her bone spear as she held her pilfered apple high above her head, out of the reach of even the tallest of Ice-T's younglings. And as more and more of them began hurtling themselves at her, clawing and clambering up the elf's body in an attempt to relieve her of her stolen prize.
Clearly, your father never taught you ingrates about personal space.
She threw two of her assailants to the ground as three more leapt upon her, taking the fallen two's places in but mere moments.
Can you guys, you know,
oh, heck nah!
Ice-T threw his cereal bowl aside and sprung into action, sprinting toward the elf with a quickness simply impossible for a creature of his size to naturally possess.
I know you didn't just drop an F-bomb in front of my kids!
He stormed across the room on all fours, barreling through his own children, knocking some aside and steamrolling others as he charged at the weighed down and immobilized elf.
Yoink! Thank you very much.
Hey! I stole that apple fair and
And lo, one of the Yeti's gigantic swinging fists came crashing into her gut, the impact sent her flying through the air in an arcing path that ended in the reflective pool at the far corner. As her armor, perhaps the only reason she had survived the blow in the first place, became her very damnation. For now, she sunk like a stone.
There's your Foley work. You're welcome.
Oh, I gotta get out of here!
All while those tiny Yetis set on subduing Wrong Half as well, chasing him in circles around the cavernous stone chamber, as his dickless self did his best to avoid them, as more of the creatures joined in the chase, hucking their little pointed sticks at the back of his legs in a futile effort to slow his panicked retreat. The reverse centaur juked Yetis left and right, bobbing and weaving, ducking and dodging Ice-T's younglings with a quickness honed through a lifetime spent in the company of normal centaurs, But with the only exit now blocked off by the big kahuna himself, the Ice-T Patriarch, and with nowhere else to run, all of his disciplined training was proven meaningless. For dozens of the younglings had now joined in the chase, and together they finally managed to corner him up against one of those granite cavern walls.
Uh-oh! Gulp!
He says gulp. Sometimes my own acting ability just... I'm profoundly impacted. I am such a fucking narcissist when it comes to his voice acting specifically. I'm fucking amazing at this shit. Fucking someone hire me, huh? Is it just me or should I not be voice acting for free? How many times has this happened to you? You're looking for a decent voice actor to really bring your script to life, and you end up with guys like this.
Hold on, let me deep throat my microphone real quick.
Yeah, let me remove that pop filter so you can really hear my mouth noises. So,
hi, Billy Mays here with a fantastic new service that's taken the voice acting world by storm. Introducing the Wizard Scroll line of services, now available on Fiverr. If you're in need of professional-grade voice acting for podcasts, cartoons, YouTube videos, reels, shorts, musicals, and more, then boy, do I know the perfect guy for you! If you've heard any of the content Chris has put out over the past 3 years or so, then you already know the kind of quality your boy can deliver. So if you need fast, reliable service from a guy who gives a goddamn, get yourself to Fiverr.com today!
Thunderpants!
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper, and I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. Mmm, so smooth and creamy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah! So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunderpants. That is good.
Laffy Taffy. Deliciously funny. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
Wrong half, with all escape routes blocked off, with scores of the little beast now forming a tight semicircle around him. He trembled and shit in fear as the younglings entered within attacking range.
Cut that dickless prick on a stick open, babies! Tear the crystal apple out from his goddamn stomach!
The younglings obliged, their dangerously sharp claws unsheathing from their fingertips as they skulked forward. They relished in the abject terror they milked from their quarry as they advanced toward him at a snail's pace. And he was so very terrified, shit pouring out of him like a runaway soft serve machine. So much so that he had failed to notice that his forehead had just begun to glow. A detail which was taken into account by the younglings, who, upon seeing that tiny glowing red dot materialize on his forehead, had all but ceased their approach. They watched in confusion as that dot grew larger, grew brighter by the moment, as it protruded outward and flopped down, and as the light dispersed. One final nugget of shit dribbled down the reverse centaur's leg, as a bit of fear pee squirted into his own eye, and the mini Ice-T's laughed riotously at the sight, because Wrong Half's wiener had just grown back, square in the center of his equine visage.
What the fuck? Fudge? Right, Fudge? Not that other F word. No, none of that, Mr. Ice-T, sir.
As the Ice-T Patriarch presently stood over him, within swinging distance, with just the biggest grin you'd ever seen on his face. With row after row of sharpened, gleaming white teeth and a maw spread open far wider than should have been physically possible.
In all my years as a supporting lead on Dick Direwolf's Law and Orc Der SVU,
he began before popping the crystal apple into his mouth and swallowing it whole.
Never have I ever seen somebody so damn stupid looking as you.
The younglings seemed to agree, as more and more of them had crowded around to get a peek at Wronghass Schlong before their father could flatten the intruder into a fine paste with his patented double fist hammer punch.
Any last words, cuck?
What's a cock?
Wrong half-assed, innocently.
It's what you are!
Rage had consumed the reverse centaur on many occasions over the course of his young life. Typically during situations in which his guttural screams and kicking legs had no real objective about them, and he would blindly lash out at whatever inanimate object was closest until he tired himself out. But this... this was something else entirely. Because as those beasts were all about to discover firsthand, in this very moment, there was absolutely nothing that could stop that horse head with legs from imposing his indomitable will on the world around him. His demeanor shifted instantly. He had gone from hopeless dismay, inconsolable bawling and tear-stained eyes to triggered at the flick of a bean. And as he gritted his teeth, snorted tiny clouds of steam from his nostrils, and did whatever the horse equivalent of lowering a brow is, he spoke haltingly.
Nobody calls me a fucking cock!
Ice-T staggered backwards several yards, though ultimately he toppled to the ground, flattening a few unlucky younglings as he crash-landed, cupping his testicles in his mighty hands as he lay helplessly on his side in the fetal position.
Oh, my balls! That little guy's got a lot of power in them legs, babies. Watch out! Oh!
Wrong half delivered dick kick after dick kick, indiscriminate to gender, as younglings, both male and female alike, fell before the mighty kicks of those powerful, pasty white human legs. And by the time he had arrived at his destination, within kicking distance of the big kahuna himself, not a single of those abominable children was laughing. They no longer even attempted to retaliate at all, opting instead to clear a path for the raging reverse centaur as he charged their own father. As they stood and or lie there, too hopeless to do anything about those two pasty human legs as they built up speed and delivered a kangaroo kick square into Ice-T's belly. That abominable beast projectile vomited the crystal apple out from his mighty maw and into the air, launched it in an arcing path that ended with a splash. And as it sunk into the depths of that pool in the corner of the room, Crystal Everfall rose from the water, landing in a gratuitous crouch on the ground, with the very air around her sparkling and cracking with electricity, as the water covering her body instantly evaporated, with her eyes now glowing a bright hot fuchsia, as the crystal apple, now impaled through the obsidian tip of her wand, coaxed forth an arcane energy that took the entire room by storm. For now, that supercharged wand let loose a barrage of magic missiles that popped a cap in any ass unfortunate enough to be caught in her crosshairs.
Fuck, fuckity, fuck. I don't know. Fuck's just one of those fucking words that rolls right off your tongue. Wouldn't you fucking agree, Mr. Ice-T?
You son of a lich! My younglings should not hear such depravity!
Ice-T roared so loud that the whole cavern quaked in response, shaking loose chunks of rock, stalactites, and multicolored crystals that now dropped freely from the ceiling. Suffice it to say, he was peeved. Understandably, too. These two miscreants just broke into his home, stole from him, kicked him in the nards, and then murdered scores of his children. So he screamed in rage as the crippling pain in his hairy balls finally subsided, as he made to stand back up onto his feet. But before he could even get onto his hands and knees, Wrong Half whirled around and gave him a flying roundhouse kick to the lower jaw, grounding him once again, as a particularly large rock plummeted from the ceiling above and cracked his skull open like a giant Ice-T looking egg.
Jesus Louises! That might have been a little overkill.
Crystal said before looking down, loath to discover that her own leg was crushed beneath some rubble as well.
Ah, my fucking leg!
Don't worry, Crystal. I'll have us out of here in a jiff. But first, we gotta do something about these big old rocks crushing your leg. Hey-yah!
My hero!
Now hop on my neck back. We got a GTFO ASAP! This whole dungeon's about to collapse!
With the injured elf in tow, Wronghalf dashed up the stairs with the swiftness of a normal centaur, narrowly dodging falling rocks as they careened to the cold stone floor, all cliché-like. Through the slime room, the troll room, up the next set of stairs, across the hallway, and out of the frosted dungeon just in time.
So, where are we going now?
Santar's workshop! I've got a delivery to make!
Santar's workshop? You can't be serious, Wronghalf. The North Pole's hundreds of miles away. I have a broken leg.
Well, Crystal, maybe if you were the Centaur tribe's chosen boy to deliver all these letters to Santar like me, you'd understand. Now hop inside your bag of holding for warmth. It's freezing out here. I'll pull you out once I make it to Santar.
Fine. Wait, how are you going to pull me out without hands?
Is this her, little helper?
Yep, that's the one, Santar, thanks!
Where am I?
Why, you're in the nurse's office of my workshop, of course.
Workshop?
I told you I'd make it, Crystal, I told you!
So you're...
Indeed, I am Santar, the jolly Christmas wizard.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Santar, sir. Ow, that's right! Broken leg!
Worry not, friend. I, Santar, shall heal your ailment with the magic of modern medicine. Aha! Here's my handy-dandy first aid kit. Now hold on. I'll have you patched up right quick.
Why can't you heal my leg with magic? Aren't you a wizard or something?
Unfortunately, as a Christmas wizard specifically, my powers only work during a 30-hour window that starts at 12:01 a.m. on Christmas Eve and lasts until 6 a.m. on Christmas Day. So, being that it's May right now, the best I can do for you is reset the bone and put a cast on you.
Wonderful. Oh!
Your friend Wronghalf here tells me that you're an up-and-coming wizard, and that you've managed to get your hands on a crystal apple.
Oh, this? Yeah. Not to brag or nothing, but I did just obliterate an entire family of subterranean yetis before we came here.
And I helped!
So, the Wronghalf fellow's claims are true. It would be wise to keep that MacGuffin closely guarded. There are innumerable naughty ne'er-do-wells out there who would do anything to snatch such a valuable gemerald for themselves. And there you are, kid. That cast should hold well enough until you can find yourself a healer.
Thank you, Santar.
Yes, I am Santar. And as such, I shall bestow upon you this.
Wow. What is it?
That right there is a genuine magical jingle bell.
Is it supposed to sound all shitty like that?
Well, you don't have to be an asshole about it. No, like all my mighty Christmas magic, the bell only works on Christmas Eve, too. But here's the fun part. If you have holiday cheer in your heart, give that bell a good hard jingle on Christmas Eve specifically, and I shall hear its chime and come to your aid. It even works across dimensions.
Talk about situationally useful. I'll cherish it always.
Now, what do you say we head over to the hot chocolate nook? I'll treat you both to all the hot chocolate you can drink.
Oh boy, hot chocolate!
Thanks. thanks for tuning in to me screaming about wizards for 20 minutes. If you're still here, odds are that you liked something about what you just heard and are itching for more. Well, fear not, dear listener, because more is exactly what's in store. Episode 106 drops next Saturday morning, and boy, let me tell you, it's gonna be a doozy indeed. So, while you wait on that one, there's plenty more Wizard Scroll content to check out over on Wizard Scroll Nights.
Nights.
We've got Wizard Hangs, Wizard Rolls, Wizards in My City, just a lot of wizard-related things in general. Subscribe to both feeds on your podcasting platform of choice today, and be sure to tell all your homies and Marges about the Wizard Scroll. Because word of mouth is how this show can continue to grow. So share the shit out of it with everyone you know. And until next Saturday, bye.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
It's the last days of summer, 1920. Do you know where your children are? They should be playing outside.
Come on, Chelsea.
Mima says we're not allowed to go to this house. We're not even supposed to be on this side of town.
Doing their chores.
Why aren't these chicken coops clean?
Please, Father, I'll be good. Oh, God!
Obeying their parents.
You look me right in the eyes and tell me you didn't steal this bike.
Ma, no, I've been helping Mr. Diamond, all right?
Lord, don't tell me my son is working at a speakeasy.
Exploring their feelings.
Let's go over to the apple tree.
Gosh, okay.
But unfortunately for these young fools, the neighborhood bully has other plans.
Tonight, you are going to meet me out in front of the old Barnaker house.
Howling house? Why?
Now, a Boy Scout, a tag-along, a doormat, and a delinquent will dare to spend the night in the most haunted estate in Arkham. Will they survive to see the sunrise, or will they succumb to the hunger of Howling House?
You're going to die tonight.
What is that thing?
Is this the witch's library?
I'm gonna kill you!
Not tonight!
Roger, make him stop!
No! You watch!
Run away, little ones.
I'm so hungry.
Listen to the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program's award-winning season, Night at Howling House. The complete story, available everywhere you listen to podcasts, and at CthulhuMystery.com.
All the outs and free. All the outs and free.